The song, "The Spirit of the Living God, Fall Fresh on Me," and that's every preacher's prayer, but it's also the people's prayer, because we need the Spirit to work in our hearts as the Word is being preached. Amen. John chapter 14. Today, John chapter 14. The Lord makes a promise here, and I'm thankful for it. There are a lot of promises in the Bible, and they are as good as fulfilled, even though they're not fulfilled yet. But we will begin reading in verse 1 of John chapter 14. As soon as the rustling of the leaves stops, but he gets there. John 14, verse 1. "Let not your heart be troubled." You know, Jesus says the same thing in verse 27. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So he's admonishing us, and he's going to tell us the reason for that, so our hearts are not troubled. He said, "Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." That's the Lord speaking. "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for all of the truth that we will enjoy today. May the Spirit of God just give it life. May the Word be so alive in our hearts. May it cause us to trust, to have faith, to look up, Lord, and to be grateful. And we'll thank you, Father, for all you do today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let not your heart be troubled. There were troubling times when Jesus said that to the disciples, but there are certainly troubling times today. When you think of politics, which I do not want to talk about, you think about all the troubles that are going on. You think about the pandemic, which I don't want to talk about today. That is a lot of problems. When you think about perilous times in the last days, and there's a great list. And so troubles are nothing new to this world, nothing new to believers and everybody. So there are troubles. But he says, let not your heart be troubled. He admonishes that a couple times, and he gives an answer for that. And man, we all need that. Amen? Because if your mind starts going in one way, it's absolutely amazing the trouble that fills your mind and your heart. He said, I will come again. Now, we believe in the second coming of our Lord. And again, there's two parts to it. I'm just going to briefly touch this in the next 3 hours, and just briefly, and then we'll get on to the message. But there is the rapture and the revelation. There is Revelation 4, where a door in heaven opens after the church age, and somebody goes up. I believe that's us. Revelation 19, a door in heaven opens, somebody comes down. I believe that's us. In between is the tribulation period. And so you have the rapture and you have the revelation. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we get caught up to be with the Lord in the air. But in Revelation chapter 1, about the revelation, every eye shall see him. So you have those two principles. There's a rapture and there's a revelation. We're just going to talk about the second coming today, and I think you'll be able to distinguish what we're speaking of. In Isaiah 22:23, the Bible says it's like a nail that is in a sure place. When God says something, it's a nail that's in a sure place. And when he said, I will come again, you can hang your hat on that. I believe that's where that expression came from. So we're going to hang our hats today. Amen? A lot of nice hats out there today. Amen? It's winter. But it's a promise, and it's a promise that is sure. In Hebrews 9:28, the Bible says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. That was on the cross. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. To them that look for him. And so we're looking for our Lord. Amen? We look for that day. We get excited about it. There's great anticipation because of that promise. We know it's going to come to pass. There is great expectancy because of faith in that promise. There's a promise, but to have faith in it helps you. Amen? It helps you get through. There's an expectancy there. In Revelation chapter 22 and verse 20, that's the next to the last verse in the Bible, the Lord says, "Surely I come quickly." Period. Then there's amen. Period. And then the next little phrase there is, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." I don't know whose amen that is. I don't know whether that's the Lord's amen or whether that's John's amen or my amen. Amen? Amen? "Even so, I come quickly." Amen. Is the Lord saying, "So be it, that's going to happen"? Or does John say, "Amen, come quickly"? Either way, it's good. Amen? But he is promised to come quickly. This second coming is also called the blessed hope in the Bible. Titus 3:13, "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." It is the blessed hope. I think hope is a good thing. Romans 8:25, "But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." We don't see it. We don't see it happening, but we know it's going to happen, so we wait patiently. Everybody waits. Only some people wait patiently. Some people wait impatiently. But so the scripture is going to be fulfilled because God's timing is perfect, absolutely perfect. We have in James chapter 5, verse 7 and 8, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord." And it goes on in verse 8, "Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." Hope is based on the promise, and it's based on believing that promise is true. If we didn't believe it was true, we wouldn't have any hope in it. A lot of statements are made, people talk to us, you know, you can watch television, all kinds of promises, but if you don't have hope in that promise, yeah, heard that one before, you know, you just, there's no expectancy, there's no wonderful feeling of joy because of that. But with the Lord, it's different. Abraham, 100 years old, Sarah, 90 years old. The Lord says, "You're going to have a baby, Sarah," you know, and you know the story there. But in Romans 4:18, it says about Abraham, who against hope believed in hope according to that which was spoken. I think when you take words in the Bible, and you can take one verse and you can say some key phrases in there that make that verse come alive and even make the context come alive. It says, "Who against hope," how in the world is this going to happen? I mean, our bodies are dead. There's no way we're going to have a child. "Who against hope believed in hope." And it says there, "according to that which was spoken." The Bible proves the truth. Amen? And when we put our faith in the Word of God, then that does something for us. So faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. We have in Psalm 41, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. For he's the health of my countenance." Another verse says the same thing, except it says he is the help of my countenance. "So I shall yet praise him. Hope thou in God." Hope. Hope. Here's a promise. Hope that it will come to pass. It's not like, "Man, I really hope so." No. It's a hope that is both steadfast and sure, Hebrews tells us. In Lamentations, you don't have to turn there. I just want to read a few verses. This was a terrible time in the life of the Jews and Israel, all the problems they went through. And the writer Jeremiah says, who was the weeping prophet, chapter 3, verse 21, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope." You get that? "This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope." So it's what you think about. "As he thinketh in his heart, so is he." So we're to cast down imaginations and every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, obedience of God. "Whatsoever things are pure and lovely and honest, and all of those, think on these things." You're transformed by the renewing of your mind. "So this I recall to mind, therefore I have hope." If you're feeling hopeless, just read some of these promises. Amen? Because it's the faith in the Word, and that's going to help your heart. It's a blessing. Amen? It goes on, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His passions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good to them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. That's exactly what James is saying. That's exactly what the Lord is saying in John chapter 14. These are great principles, and the Scriptures cannot be broken. Amen? So this really does work. He says, I will come again. Billy Graham, I don't know if you've ever heard of him, Billy Graham, but he said this, Bible teaching about the second coming of Christ was thought as a doomsday preaching, but not anymore. It's the only ray of hope that shines as an ever-brightening beam in a darkening world. And that's true. So, you know, where are you going to get your hope? Where are you going to get your joy? Oh, we get it by watching TV. Well, God bless you. I don't know how you do that, but amen. And I'm not saying don't watch TV or the news or movies. There's a lot of things, but this is where your eternal hope comes from. This is what calms the troubled spirit and the troubled mind. I think it's a blessing. In my Father's house are many mansions. They were already there when He said that. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. The Lord didn't go to heaven and start building dwelling places for us. Amen. He went to the cross. And by going to the cross, that's where He prepared a place for us. He died for us. He died in our place. That's how I see that. And then it goes on. I mean, there's so many promises. He says, I will come again. So He came the first time. He came to die. He came into the world to save sinners, right? I mean, we know that Bible principle, that doctrine. But He says, I will come again. There's so much prophecy in the Bible about the first coming. And it all happened just the way it was prophesied. And you can look in any concordance, in any Bible, and you'll see all these promises and all the fulfilled promises. The Bible is full of those. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, that's why we're called believers. Amen? When we would go to Romania and do missions work, there was a group, they weren't Bible church, they weren't Baptist church, they weren't this church, they were called believers. That's a good name for people. I think it's in the Bible. Amen? Or Christians. But they were called believers. We believe. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again. If you believe in the first coming, do you believe in the second coming? I mean, it just makes sense, doesn't it? Because it's the same promise. Verse 16. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's the rapture. That's a promise. So our loved ones that have died before us, they are asleep, and one day they're going to be resurrected with a new body, amen, and we'll meet them. The reason they rise first is No, I don't think that's the reason. But anyway, they're going to rise and we're going to meet them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Think of that when the rapture takes place. Now, there's two ways to go. We die, our body wears out, accident, whatever happens, or we get raptured. I think I'd rather get raptured, amen? But, I mean, there's pros and cons of both sides. Let's move on. There are so many verses about the first coming and their fulfillment, and God has never been wrong, not one time. But listen to this. There is one verse in every 30 in the New Testament that refers to the second coming. one verse in every 30 in the New Testament that refers to the second coming. There are 20 times as many references in the Old Testament to the second coming than to the first coming. 20 times more references. And you can look that up. I haven't studied it. I mean, I haven't gone through the Bible and counted them, but somebody did. Amen. And I'm sure it's true because it was in the New York Times. But think of all the references to the first coming and all the fulfillment, but all of the references to the second coming. In 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? It says, it goes on, for since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were since the beginning of creation. Where is the promise of his coming? And so we've been telling people, you know, the Lord's coming again. Ha, you know, they're scoffers. They mock that. They don't believe it. But it's true. It's going to happen. And all of the scripture will be fulfilled. I think it's an important thing to think about. It is impossible for God to lie. So if God said, I will come again, he is going to come again. All the promises in him are yea and amen. So if you get a promise, and they're saying, where are the promises of God? I don't think that's true. But God says, I will come again. Matthew Henry said, scoffers attack this, and they will until the Lord comes back. He said this, what the Lord never has done, they fancy he never can do or never will do. We brought a devotional one time about Easter, and I put in there, ask somebody if they believe in Easter. That's a real opening, you know. Do you believe in Easter? Well, yeah. You know, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when they do or they don't, it opens a door, you know. Do you believe in Christmas? Well, yeah, I think it's a great holiday. No, and then you can, you know, and you can see what people believe in. But do you believe in Christmas? I believe in Christmas. Do you believe in Easter? I believe in Easter. Why do we believe that? Because the Bible tells us about it. Amen? And call it whatever day you want to call it, but there was the birth of Christ, the death and the resurrection of Christ. In Psalm 55 and verse 19, because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. All things continue as they were. There's nothing that's changed. All things continue as they were. Well, we'll get into this a little bit, and I might preach until the second coming. You know, wouldn't that be a blessing if he came today? You never know. I mean, I'm glad you're in church today. Wouldn't it be something if he came today and you said, I'm going fishing? You know, all things continue as they were. No, he says, I will come again. Now, why did he say that? Why did he say that? So that we could have knowledge of the purpose of God and we could have knowledge of the promise of God. There is no misquoting that. There is no denying that. I will come again. So we have hope. And hope is an important thing. In Genesis 18, and there's a number of these, I'll just go through a few of them. But God said to Abraham in chapter 18, verse 17, he's going to be destroying Sodom. Lot, Abraham is praying that Lot comes out of Sodom. But it says, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Should I hide that from Abraham? No, he is my friend. Abraham was a friend of God. The Bible tells us that. In Romans, against hope, he believed in hope. There's all kinds of faith that Abraham showed in his life. And God says, should I hide this from Abraham? There are things that are mysteries and there are things that are deep. But God wants to reveal things to us. Had they known that Jesus Christ was the Lord, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Had they known. And so, but the Bible goes on and says, but the Spirit hath revealed them unto us. Amen? So how does the Spirit do that? Well, that's the Holy Spirit, and thy word is truth, John, and it's 17:17, and the Spirit guides us into all truth. You just pick your Bible up. God wants to reveal something to you. You know, God wants you to see and understand His Word. You have Psalm 25, verse 14. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, that reverence Him. Not that are feared, afraid that they run away, but they reverence Him. Amos 3, 7. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but He revealeth His secret unto His servants, the prophets. Prophets in the Old Testament were called seers because they saw what God was trying to say. Holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so we have that record. These things have I written unto you that ye may know the things of God, right? So we read, God reveals that to us. He guides us through the Bible. It's just a wonderful journey. You have John 15, 15. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. The Gospels, they're amazing. Spend some time in the Gospels and you'll learn a lot about God. James 2:23. I only have 57 more of these. James 2:23. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. He just believed God. That's all he had to do. Amen? Just open the Bible, read it, and believe it. I will come again. Okay, I believe that. Therefore, we have hope, and we can wait patiently, and it's a blessing. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. When you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, here's the secret, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. It works. Amen? It works because we believe it. It works because we have faith in it. So it produces hope. I believe that. So now there's hope. If you believed the Lord was coming today, you would, what? Fill in the blank. I would go eat a big pie. I don't know what your thought would be. If you believe the Lord was coming next week, well, He's coming sometime, and we don't know when. Amen? But He's coming. And that needs to be the reality. You know, the early church, that's all they talked about, the second coming. He's coming, He's coming, He's coming. What a blessing that is. Psalm 116, verse 10, I believed, therefore. Whenever you see a therefore, you find out what it's there for. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I believe this, therefore, because I believe that, I'm going to talk about this. And we're certainly assured that it is true. Hebrews 11, 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, of evidence not seen. So it's substance of things hoped for. When you hope for something, that's what faith is, the Word of God. He says, I'll come again. That's a blessed hope. I believe that. And that's a hope that is sure and steadfast. It's an anchor for my soul. Verse 3, through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Amen. It goes on and says, so that things which are seen were not made of things that do appear. The Lord just spoke them into existence. Well, how do you know that? Because that's what He said. So we believe that. Amen? That's faith. That's what faith is. Ephesians 2, 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, boy, I don't know. We got a squeak, a real bad squeak up here. Paul, do you know what that is? Okay, we don't know what it is. Maybe it's I didn't have enough breakfast. Amen? I don't know what it is. But anyway, we believe that we're saved by faith in Christ, right? He died on a cross for us, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. Okay? I believe that. So when the devil comes to me and says, well, you're not doing enough. You didn't really mean it. You didn't do enough to get there. And all, you ever go through any of that? I don't know if you did. I go through it. I go through it still. It's what the devil does. But I just come back to, I put my faith in the Savior. I've asked him to be my Savior. Praise the Lord. It's faith, amen? That's a good thing. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by the word. So what do you believe about God? You ever think about that? It's a good thing to think about. Why do you believe? Or why do you believe what you think about God is true? Because you've found it in the scriptures. Try me on this, Paul. Try me on the pulpit mic. Because there's... Oh,
it's somebody's shoes. Okay? I won't say whose shoes they are. But they're squeaking. Yeah. Boy, I am so tempted to put this on this recording so the whole world knows whose shoes were squeaking, but I'm not going to say anything. Amen. Okay, so we're just going to go right on. What a blessing.
Okay, now how do I recover? How do I recover from that? What do you... Isn't it good just to laugh? It's just so good. Think of what heaven's going to be like. It says, in his presence... There's the verse. In his presence, there's no squeaky shoes. That verse is in the Bible. Oh, no, I quoted that wrong, didn't I? Fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. What a blessing it is. What do you believe about the first coming? Well, I believe it happened. I believe that there was a star that led those three wise men to where the young child was. Young child. Not at the manger. The shepherds went to the manger. And everybody was rejoicing, you know, and I mean, all of the stories, you just go in the Bible. You just read the Bible. And you say, well, I believe that. What do you believe about the second coming? I believe that the Lord is coming again. And I believe he's going to, if it's a rapture, I'm going to be caught up in the clouds, in the air, to be with the Lord forever. And I'm going to, 1 Corinthians 15, this corruptible shall put on incorruption. And all that comes because of that. What do you believe about the second coming? In Acts chapter 17, Paul was in Athens. It was a real idolatrous place. And in verse 21, he says, for all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. We preach the old gospel. Tell me the old, old story. Amen? I mean, you can't change it. You don't want to change it. You don't want to fool with it. It's the old, old story. These are great, great truths. Looking for something new all the time can be a danger in your Bible study because it's the gospel, and we cannot change that. Paul went on to say in verse 23, for I passed by and beheld your devotions. I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. You come to verse 31. And Paul says, there's going to be a judgment because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he raised him from the dead. Speaking of Christ. Christ is the judge. I might have told you this story before, but there was three young men, and they were drinking, and it was about 2 a.m, and they were all drunk. And they parked their car. They went in this affluent neighborhood, stopped their car. They were sitting on the hood of the car and just around talking, yelling, playing music, drinking. And a real kind, nice old gentleman came out of his house. They were parked right there in front. And he came out and he asked them very nicely if they would just move on. You know, this is not the place to be doing this. So... one of them started to get smart with him, and he says, look, I don't want any trouble. And long story short, they beat him up. They broke his arm, and they hurt his leg. And so they were going to go to court. This gentleman was going to take him to court. And these three boys, they were come from wealthy families, so they hired the best lawyers. And they got all cleaned up, put suits on. And they went to court, and it was a shoo-in because there were no cameras. There were no other witnesses, so they were just going to, you know, they were prepped for how they could get out of it. And so They're sitting in court, kind of smug, you know, they're just no problem. And the bailiff says, all rise. And the judge came in from the side, and he had a cast on his arm, and he was walking with crutches. And the man that was the judge was the man they beat up. Now, I don't know how you're going to get out of that one. Amen? And one day, that's what Paul's talking about. He hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he raised from the dead. And I think that's an important point. That's, we ought to reverence him. Amen? We ought to thank him for saving us. But you see the gravity of this. This is so important. It's not just doing a bunch of good things. It's we have to be right with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Everyone seems to have been born with a desire to know the future. Here's a list. Fortune tellers, astrologers, psychics, crystal ball readers, palm readers, Ouija boards, tarot cards, horoscopes, fortune cookies, misfortune cookies, the New Age, just say no to Nostradamus, you know, all of those things. There's all of this future. Everybody wants to know the future. Well, you study the Bible, you know the future. For example, in the book Revelation, chapter 2 and 3, they're about the churches, right? That's 1/8 of the book of Revelation, and it's about the churches, history and present. Then you get to chapter 4, and it's about the future, all the way through. And you read back in Daniel, and you read back in Ezekiel, and you read back in Isaiah, and you just connect all of these verses in Matthew 24, and it's in the epistles. It's just all through the scripture. And so you see what's ahead. Amen? But I'm glad I don't have to go through that time of trouble. I'm glad I go out before it. Therefore, I have hope. Amen? It's a good thing. It's a really good thing to know. God's great purpose in making a promise is to produce something in us. It produces hope in us, but it produces a holy life. If we believe that, it will produce something in us. Almost without exception, when the coming of Christ is mentioned in the New Testament, it's followed by an exhortation to godliness and holy living. And follow me as we go through this. Abraham, Hebrews 11, Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. He looked. Unto them that look for him, he shall appear the second time. He's looking. There's an anticipation. What time I'm afraid, right? I'll trust in him, but I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. You have Philippians 3:20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what we talk about. Amen? We talk about the Lord. We talk about our salvation. We talk about what it's going to be like. Verse 21, who shall change our vile body that may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So we are thankful that this corruptible shall put on incorruption, this mortal shall put on immortality. Verse chapter 1, verse 4, therefore, because that's there, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and I beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. You know, in James it says, grudge not, the judge lieth at the door. The Lord's coming, grudge not. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. See all the instruction for living for God? Because it's here, I'm coming again. I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to take away all the pain, all the suffering, all of that. I'm going to give you a new body. Therefore, just the list. Stand fast. Be of the same mind. Help. Rejoice. All of that. You'll find that true over and over. If you want to, you can turn your Bibles to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, we're going to read a few verses there. And then we'll go right across the page to 1 Thessalonians and read some verses there. Colossians chapter 3, and we will begin there in verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. So set your affection on things above, not on things in the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, put to death. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of this, you ought to do this, right? If I really believe this, then I'm going to live like this. You'll go over to 1 Thessalonians, to save a little bit of time here. Chapter 5. In chapter 4, we quoted it already, the rapture. We talked about that, being caught up together with him in the clouds. So shall we ever be with the Lord? Then you come to chapter 5, and here's a partial list. Verse 14, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I think that's where Bob Jones Sr. got his quote. When a man, what's the gratitude one, Linda? When gratitude dies on the altar of a man's heart, that man is well nigh hopeless. Gratitude. So the Lord's coming. Amen. We're going to live with him forever. Well, I got problems here. Okay. Let not your heart be troubled. We always have problems. Always. We're going to have problems. And you say, well, I'll tell you what I'm having a problem with. I don't have a problem today, but I know I'll probably have a problem tomorrow. And that's my problem, that I'm thinking about the problems that are going to, right? Right? I'm right. Well, we work this out. Man, this was good, but oh, man, And then we live in that problem for however long it hangs on. Sometimes years. You ever have regrets? I'm thankful the Lord remembers them no more, right? He buries them in the deepest sea. Anyway, that's another sermon, amen? But it says, quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. Because of this, this is how we ought to live. He's coming. Amen? He's coming. What a blessing that is. 2 Peter 3:11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, right? Going to be a new heaven, new earth. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be? Because of this, what should this look like? It goes on and says, in all holy conversation and godliness. Nevertheless, verse 13, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless. We're looking for his coming, so we're ready. Old M.R. DeHaan had the radio station in Grand Rapids. He closed every day with, perhaps today. That's how we ought to live. Perhaps today he could come at any moment, and we don't want to be ashamed at his coming. Let things get as bad as you can imagine them to get. And if you're breathing right now, here's what happens. This is going on, so maybe this will happen because this is happening. And it just depends if we have a positive outlook or a negative outlook. And most of us are somewhere in the middle, Because if you see evil coming, obviously Proverbs tells you the wise man prepares for it. But it's not all evil, because God knows what he's doing. Amen? These things must come to pass. They must happen, whatever it is. Well, China. Man, China. They're gonna take over the world. No, they're not. You say, how do you know that? Because the Bible doesn't say they do. I know what's going to happen. Amen. Now, I don't know every little detail or how it's all going to get there, but you just take a break. Amen. Think about the Lord. Okay, I'm ready to get into the message right now. So it'll be a brief message. John 10:35, the scripture cannot be broken. If God made a promise, it will come to pass exactly the way he says it will come to pass. Habakkuk 2:3, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and lie not. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. The vision, the prophecy, the truth, the promise will come. It's going to happen. Surely I come quickly. Revelation 1:1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. That's what Revelation is all about. This is what's going to happen. It's going to come to pass. And Revelation 21, and I'll read this and be done. Verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven, the first earth were passed away. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Verse 4, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Amen. But verse 8 says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers, idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That scripture is just as true as the scripture before it. So God says, I'm the Savior. I will forgive all of that sin, everything, and you'll be my child, and you can be with me forever. We're all sinners. Amen? Past sinners, present sinners, we know we're going to sin in the future because of this right here. It's flesh. And the flesh wars against the spirit. But there's an answer for that, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for our sins. He paid for our sins. And he has a wonderful place prepared for us. Amen. Hope thou in God. Hope thou in God today. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you so much for your precious word, for your precious promises. And Lord, you call them that in the scripture, precious promises. I pray that we would claim those today, that we would rehearse them in our minds, that God, it would give us hope and peace, and let not our hearts be troubled. Bless your people now, minister, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand, please.